December 15th is the most overrated day in the NBA calendar. All the time you hear December 15th, December 15th, December 15th. And that is the day that most players who signed as free agents last offseason, not all, but most of them, become eligible to be traded. So it's looked at as the unofficial start of trade season. However, not all free agents are eligible to be traded December 15th. For players who got a big raise in re-signing with their previous team, it's January 15th. That applies to a few players, somebody like John Collins with the Hawks. A lot of times it's somebody coming off their rookie scale contract going to that bigger second contract who that applies to. So it's not going to be everybody. Also, there are rarely trades on December 15th. Kurt, do you know the last time there was a trade on December 15th?
Oh, I've heard this. I heard somebody mention this on another podcast a while back, but it was a long time ago. It was like 2009 or something. It was a while ago, right?
It was 2010. It was a three-team trade between the Rockets and Lakers and Nets with Sasha Vujacic, Joe Smith, Terrence Williams. It was a second trade that day. It was the Rockets sending Jermaine Taylor to the Kings for a second round pick that never conveyed. I think that was just part of this trade, basically just worked into two trades. And before that, it was 2003. So this is not like teams are just waiting to trade their free agents. However, we are reaching a point where contracts are shorter, more players are signing as free agents. This seems to be an active in-season trade market with Ben Simmons still hanging out there. He's been eligible to be traded this whole time. He's not who we're talking about today. But today we are going to talk about players who are newly eligible to be traded on December 15th. Not that we're expecting a trade tomorrow, but these players are now in the works. Talks can get more serious. There's just not the hypothetical of what if we wait and see where they're at. So I asked Kurt, and I did the same, to come up with a list of the five players who are newly eligible to be traded tomorrow that we're watching most closely. And it could be because of their own trade situation, because how they fit into a larger trade, right? Maybe a team is waiting to just use their salary. And it's not about that player. And everybody else in the trade has been eligible to be traded. A lot of different ways you can go about it. But just the players we're keeping an eye on now that the situation is changing. So, Kurt, if anybody's still listening after I downplayed how meaningful this date is, why don't you lead us off? Who tops your list of players you're watching newly available to be traded on December 15th?
There's a few guys I'm kind of curious about. But at the top of my list, honestly, I think the guy I'm doing this as in guys I think will genuinely be moved. I'm going to start with Dennis Schroeder.
Mm-hmm. Also on my list.
Yeah, with the Boston Celtics. He is flat out just outplaying the $5.9 million he's making this year. We could rehash the whole how he blew it with the Lakers not accepting, you know, what was potentially offered as an extension. I think he thought he was worth more. He wasn't really happy with his role necessarily with the Lakers. But looking back, he'd probably like to when I had Todd Rasmussen, the agent, on the podcast, he's like, I kind of tell my players, take the money and we can get you moved later. Like, don't pass up the money. Sounds like I think he thought more was out there. But anyway, he's completely outplayed he's not the end all be all. He's not great efficiency, but 17.1 points a game, outplaying the 5.9. And the big thing for me, Dan, is he's going to earn a raise. This is a 1-year contract, and the Celtics will not be able to pay. Like, they're limited by the CBA on what they can pay. So they're better off trading him and getting something back because they're not going to be able to resign him. They're just going to lose him for nothing.
So through non-bird rights, they could offer him just over $7 million starting salary next year, right? Probably won't be enough. If they opened up the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, they could get up over $10 million. Maybe that'd be enough, maybe not. After turning down the $84 million that you mentioned from the Lakers, got to think he's going to be prioritizing money on his next contract. But any team that trades for him would be in the same boat. They'd have the same disadvantage. You know, he's basically going to be a free agent. Where his prior team isn't going to have much of an advantage, if any, no matter where he is. The Celtics are getting something out of him. The Celtics are competitive. What do you think about the idea of just keeping him? And even if you lose him, who are you going to get? Or do you just not care enough about this season? Is this, I won't say a lost year, but a year where you're not prioritizing it because it hasn't gotten off to the best start?
I think it's more of the latter. I think that they're struggling. If you're Boston, if I'm the Celtics right now and I'm looking at this, man, yeah, maybe it's a second round pick and something, you know, a player I'm not going to use much, but that might be better for me than just letting this ride out. I don't want to say this is a lost season. They absolutely could still make the postseason, but I struggle with this team. I struggle trying to figure out because they should just be better than they are on paper to me, but they're not very good, Dan.
No, but they're not bad. I mean, they're 500, right?
They're right in the mix. They're not what you thought they would be, what we thought they would be. And I guess with that, I thought they were going to be. Maybe that's what it is. I thought they'd be better than this. And so I think that they're kind of looking around now thinking, what kind of bolder moves can we make?
Yes. If going back to the preseason, as we were doing our season preview series, there was a post you wanted to write. And I'm going to try and look up the headline real quick that you ended up going with. But it was basically about Celtics optimism. And I told you, I can't write that one. You got to take that one.
Yeah.
And you weren't alone. There were a lot of people. And I wasn't down on the Celtics. I thought I was pretty middling, but there were so many people high on them. I'm still struggling to see why.
I think that I underestimated, looking back now and actually – talking to people about the Celtics is I just thought with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they'd be better playmakers than they've turned out being. They can both go isolate and go get you buckets. They can both score. They are both. And like Monday night when Jason Tatum goes off, it's a work of art, right? When he drops 42 and he just gets rolling, he can score with the best of them, but they don't. When they get rolling, it becomes very isolation-y, and they don't move the ball, and the team just kind of becomes stagnant. And they're, frankly, Dan, they're not much fun to watch.
Yeah. I found the headline, "Are we sleeping on an improved top four in the East Boston Celtics team?" And I said, you got to take that one. Because I did have him making the playoffs, though, and I think Dennis Schroeder, you know, you talk about something where it's a second rounder. That's better for the long term. But losing Dennis Schroeder, maybe that makes the difference between making the playoffs and not. Like, does Boston care about that, right? Is that a big deal to that? I know their ambitions have been higher and are often higher in Boston, understandably, because of the success that franchise has had historically. But it's nice to make the playoffs. It's nicer, you know, it's better to make the playoffs than not. I find it enjoyable to make plays. Maybe expectations there have just gotten so high that means nothing to them. And I'm also curious what you think about, you know, they don't move the ball well enough. And how does Dennis Schroeder factor into that, right? He reinvented himself a little bit that year he spent with the Thunder, where he was basically, you know, the third point guard playing behind Chris Paul and behind Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And, you know, he was never the best passer by any means, but that was more of his game, more of the traditional lead ball handler. And he's found success, you know, I won't say an off guard, but something more combo-y than he was before. I don't know exactly how this looks for the Celtics because Jason Tatum is really good. Jaylen Brown are really good. I think you're going to want the ball in their hands. And so the idea of, oh, you bring in a passer, well, now you're taking the ball out of their hands. I think the solution is those two have to be better passers. But maybe you can bring somebody in the short term and get a bump, and maybe you could trade Schroeder for a better fit. Somebody who's not quite as good, but a better fit, but he is playing well for Boston. I don't know. I think I'm a little bit more bullish on the idea that he can help the Celtics the rest of this season, and there's value to that, even if they lose him for nothing in the offseason.
Yeah, again, they're not getting that much back, so we'll see what comes available. But I think that they've got to at least shop him and see. They've got to at least see if there's some team that decides they need the point guard, that, you know, the point guard depth more. Could he go back, you know, go back to Atlanta? They have, that team still falls off a cliff when Trae Young sits.
Yeah. I don't know where the feelings are between everybody.
Yeah. I don't know that's happening. But yeah.
And as we go through these, if there are any of these where you see a particular destination or why you're intrigued, stop me and let me know and put them in. I won't ask you on all of them. Because for me, for my list, I generally roll with players where I'm not sure where they'll end up, where there are a lot of possibilities. It's not just, Schroeder's targeted.
Yeah, Schroeder's absolutely one where I don't know, just because, like you said, the value of getting him is getting him for the rest of the season. Because if whoever trades for him, basically you're not going to be able to re-sign him. So
well, you can't. You just won't have a leg up.
You won't have. Right. I just think he's going to end up this time. You know what was you rattled off? Another $7 million, 7.1, whatever you can give him for next season. I just got a feeling he's going to get more than that. That he's going to get solid backup money closer to the mid level.
And if he doesn't get that, like, from his prior team, that 7.1, that means something went wrong. They don't want him back anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's like the same thing that happened to Marcus Cousins with the Warriors. Everybody's like, oh, it's a one-year thing. And then it turned out that that he wasn't worth that most that Golden State could have given him. Same situation.
Exactly.
So Schroeder was on my list.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Two. So let's jump back to you. Who else is on your list? Do you want to talk about
number two? Or the other guy. Just because I think there's a demand for big men around the league, Robin Lopez.
Ah, not on my list.
Making a cool $5 million this year and provides solid big man play. And, you know, Dan, could he replace his brother? He's not the same player that his brother is. I'm going to assume, by the way, that we're just not going to see Brook Lopez this year. If you've missed the start of the season with back issues, then you've got to have surgery mid-season as a big man. I hate to rule it out. They have not put a timeline on him. Maybe he can return, but you can't be betting on that if you're Milwaukee, right? Like, you've got to go out and see. I mean, I don't know that you need to go try to hunt down a Miles Turner, but you need a backup five.
I mean, you mentioned Miles Turner. I'd love him as a five, yes. Starting five in Milwaukee. I don't know exactly if they can put the pieces together. It might be nice to still have PJ Tucker on this roster. He's not going to be the same player as Brook Lopez, not the same size and length in the paint, but you can change your identity. At least you have somebody who can play the position. And yes, they could have still had PJ Tucker. They chose not to pay that much. That was their choice.
Coming
where that franchise is, they're still paying plenty, right? We can say their tax bill is high, but it could have been higher in the team, could have been stronger positioned. Robin Lopez would be an interesting fit there. And the one reason he didn't quite crack my list is I'm not sure he's good enough anymore for me to care so much, but he was friend. He was one of my honorable mentions for the list. And also, I don't know, the Magic, I think, had to know they were going to be bad this year. Yeah. And so and Robin Lopez had to know the Magic were going to be bad. And I feel like, and maybe they just went into it saying, look, we want your leadership for half a season. We want your veteran presence to set a tone, and we'll work with you to get you somewhere at the trade deadline if you want. That those types of arrangements happen. But also maybe they're just like, we want you for this season. We'll pay you. We want you around. Like, will you accept this role for the whole year? So I don't know, right? Like, from the outside, it's real tough to tell which of those two it is. But he does not fit in Orlando. I agree with you there.
Yeah, and I'm not, you know, obviously Mo Bamba. I'm not sure how the Mo Bamba Wendell Carter thing fits together, frankly, terribly well anyway. But Robin's the third man out, and it's a reasonable contract. And again, for 15 minutes a night off the bench, he can help some teams that are looking for that end up looking for depth at the five. So. I'm not sold Milwaukee. I just like the idea of him replacing his brother.
yes.
If anybody's not heard this, they were on NPR's Wait, Don't Tell Me together a few weeks ago when the Bucks and Magic were going to play and it was going to be a thing, except obviously Brooke never played. They're hysterical together. They're just so funny when they're together.
Yes. And I think they'd probably both rather have Robin Orlando so that Brooke can go visit, especially if he's going to be out injured, you know, go visit and go to Disney World on an off day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The Magic might want to do something. I don't know how much Robin's going to be itching to leave, especially in the winter, right? As it gets colder, you know, I like Milwaukee. I'm not, but at that time of year, this time of year, I think I'd rather be in Orlando.
Exactly. Milwaukee in June is not Milwaukee in February, is what you're saying.
That's right. I had another big man on a bad team, Daniel Theis on the Rockets.
Yes.
Is he on your list too?
He was. He actually was on my list.
Yeah. Another one where I don't know exactly what they were thinking the offseason. I think there was a little bit more naivete in Houston than Orlando about I think the Rockets had some more designs of being more competitive this year. He's 29 years old, doesn't really fit with their, you know, young core, all the rookies they have. They gave him a hefty contract too, and early in free agency.
Yeah.
He got 3 years, more than $26 million, there's a fourth-year team option after that. And he just hasn't fit. The Rockets are 2-14 when he starts, and they got better. They're 7-4 when he's not starting. It's because this too big lineup with him and Christian Wood just isn't working. Now, they could trade Christian Wood. That's possible. They could get some value there, right, if they figure the timeline is better to get a draft pick or a younger player than Christian Wood. Christian Wood has much more value than Theis. But Theis, I don't know, just doesn't seem to fit. He's a solid defender. He shoots some threes. Maybe he'll even make some. They got Elperen Şengün, one of their rookies,
right,
who's shown some flashes as a big man. They could open up a bigger role for him if Theis is gone. They could maybe get Usman Garuba into the rotation later in the year, another one of their rookies, if Theis is gone. He just seems to fit better somewhere else. One of my questions, though, is that's a fairly hefty contract for someone who – he looked good before, right? Like, that didn't seem like a terrible contract when they signed it. But once you're kind of stained by losing and being in an awkward fit, even if we know, like, oh, it's not Theis's fault the Rockets are bad. It's not his fault he fits poorly. But all of a sudden, the shine wears off. And I don't know how many teams are going to be itching to take that contract.
Part of the reason I had him on my list is just to get in discussing. Houston, to me, is going to be a fascinating team to watch. They have, after that 15-game losing streak, they have, you know, won six in a row. They've actually played well of late, picking up wins. But it's largely been, you know, like last night they came back and won in Atlanta. Well, because Eric Gordon and DJ Augustin kind of went off, right? Like, your veterans are leading them. I'm curious. I mean, they're kind of showcasing them now, but Christian Wood, you mentioned – Eric Gordon, absolutely. Some other guys. I think that's a team more than willing to move its veterans to get young pieces and picks. I think that this is still a rebuilding team that probably will try to bottom out a little in the second half, but I think they're willing to move their veterans.
I think so, too. The one that confounds me a little bit is Eric Gordon, because it seemed like he's been in that boat for a while.
Yes.
That he'd be the veteran who'd be moved, and he's still there, and I just don't quite understand why. Sometimes teams have more of an attachment to their own player than you'd think for whatever reason, even when it doesn't seem to fit.
Yeah, they do. To me, it's time for – I expect multiple moves out of them. Christian Wood, to me, by the way, again, if you're Milwaukee or one of these teams looking for a big, I like the way he fits in a lot of – I like him as a player. I don't know that – I'd like Miles Turner better, but I think Christian Wood could help a lot of teams.
Yes. If I'm not mistaken, Christian Wood was already in Milwaukee in that phase of his career when teams were running through him. And every time he got waived, I'm like, man, this guy is talented. Why does he keep getting waived? And he finally got his opportunity in Detroit. It was nice to see him put it all together. He's playing well for Houston, too. He has value. And he's not old by any means. He's still only 26. So he could be part of the Rockets' next phase. I'm with you. I expect the Rockets to move their veterans. He's that in-between player, Christian Wood, where it could go either way.
Yeah, very much so.
So who else do you have on your list? That was, I guess, one where we both have Daniel Theis. Who else do you have?
Every team likes shooting. Bryn Forbes.
My last cut.
Your last cut. Yeah, Bryn Forbes is, to me, exactly. It's just $4.5 million can come in and just, man, can just give you some solid bench minutes, you know, knock down some shots for you, space the floor, play smart basketball. I just think he can help. The Spurs are going to be another interesting team to watch, you know, with Thaddeus Young, a year ago, I was like, I can't believe more teams are not snapping him up as a small ball five. And now I'm not sure if that demand is there. He hasn't really fit in and impress terribly well down in San Antonio, but Bryn Forbes has and has had some good games, and I think he will definitely draw interest at the deadline.
I wonder whether his experience with the Bucks last year in the playoffs turns off some of the higher end teams, where his role really shrunk as the playoffs went on. He was a little too small. So if you have the grandest of ambitions, maybe you're not as interested. But there are plenty of teams trying to advance in the playoffs, like win one series or just get into the playoffs. I think he can help plenty of teams. The Spurs have really good depth at guard, so he's buried a little bit. You know, it didn't really make sense to me, him coming back so much. Maybe there's just a comfort level there, and you know, he could get the money, and maybe he felt like he had to take what was available to him after after falling out of the rotation with the Bucks. But he's a solid player. He's improved his all around game. I'm with you. The reason he was actually on my list, I took him off, is because the Spurs just are so reluctant to make in-season trades.
Yeah,
it's so rare for them. I'm like, I don't know if I'm watching the Spurs as closely as some other players.
Yeah, they're really hesitant. Did you find yourself, like, I was trying to find, well, actually, one guy is there, so I take it back. I was trying to find players on teams I thought would make moves to fit in in this list too. So We'll get to some of those.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I'm looking for players who just signed as a free agent, but don't really fit necessarily with where their team is. And so, yes, Bryn Forbes absolutely fits that mold.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Just don't trust San Antonio to trade somebody in season. Somebody on my list, Kemba Walker. Sacrifice more than $2 million to leave the Thunder to come to the Knicks. Went from starting. His playing time dropped, but even right before, he played 23 minutes in his last couple games with the Knicks and now just cannot get on the court. They don't view him as a decent backup. Like, he's just not part of the rotation. Maybe he's too small for Tibbs defensively, although Tibbs has sometimes let a scoring guard let them kind of cook offensively and had everybody else defend around him. Not taking that path with Kemba Walker. There just doesn't seem to be a lot of faith in him. Kemba Walker has a big name. You know, there was a lot put behind him coming there. It feels like there's some weird political considerations, a lot going on. Benching him has not been the solution. The Knicks were 10-8 when they had Kemba Walker in the lineup. They're 2-7 without him. Now, that's not because they're not playing Kemba Walker. They got outscored by more than 13 points per 100 possessions when he played. He was part of that dreadful starting lineup that was getting outscored by almost 16 points per 100 possessions when he was in it. Like, he was not the solution, but benching him completely is not the answer either. So I don't know what the Knicks are going to do with him. I don't know what he wants. The Knicks are trying to craft this image of, we're going to be a place that attracts stars. I think some of that is going to be doing right by the guy who sacrificed more than $2 million to join your team and not just burying him on the bench. I don't know what that looks like. It could be a trade.
Yeah, it could be. It didn't feel like – it was pretty clear Thibodeau just didn't want to mess with the – he liked Quickly and Rose together as the guards off the bench.
They mesh well.
And they do, but that meant jumping Alec Burks over everybody. And that hasn't, like you said, that just hasn't worked as a starter. At some point, you're going to have to, I think, maybe break up that combo off the bench and slot Kemba or Burks or whoever you're going to put in there as a backup guard. I'm just curious what the market is for him out there. He's a bit creaky, like, to me. I mean, he put up some numbers, but just he did not look like the same explosive guy anymore. And I'm not sure how much demand there will be for him.
So this is going to be the second straight year of me saying, yes, Kemba Walker has slipped, but he has not slipped by quite as much as some people are saying. He can still play. I think he can still help some teams. He's declining from a star peak.
He's all NBA level player in Charlotte. Yeah.
Don't like get expectations out of whack. He's not that player anymore. He's not as good as he was even in Boston last year, right? So slipping from that is not great. It's not a great situation for where he's at, especially defensively. You know, he is showing signs of age, but I think he could help a team. He's a talented ball handler, scorer, all that. I don't know where he is about accepting a bench role, right? Maybe that has something to do with it. I'm not just trying to blame Tibbs for this situation. Maybe Kemba Walker is resistant to coming off the bench. I don't know. It's a weird situation. But I got to think he's would be open to a trade rather than sitting on the bench.
I would think so. And I think the Knicks reached the we need to shake this up a little bit point. Like, it's just...
Yeah, I don't think trading, you know, a guy who's getting DNP CDs and only making, eight-ish million a year is the shakeup. It could be part of the move too, right? A lot of these guys we've mentioned have these middling salaries where we're talking about the reasons they could get traded. Some of them, the reason they're on this list is just because, well, they could be part of a trade,
right?
Their salary fits and their team could be active. And the Knicks definitely look like a team that could be active. I don't think the timing is right for them to get that star they want. I don't think Damian Lillard is becoming available. But if you somehow did, right, you got to get up to Damian Lillard's salary.
Yep.
Well, yeah, Kemba Walker's salary might slot in there.
Yeah, exactly. I think that there's definitely some of that, but I'm with you. I'm not sure Lillard goes – if he ends up leaving Portland, which, we'll see what happens – I'd still kind of bet on that as being, it's just not a deadline thing, right? Like, I expect if we're going to see a move there, a bold move, it's going to be involving CJ and CJ McCollum and Yusuf Nurkic in combination or separately or whatever it takes. And, maybe an Anthony Simmons, they're going to throw some other guys in there. I just don't see, I don't see him leaving mid-season. And if you're not getting that, if you're the Knicks, Leon Rose has done a good job of not like, well, we didn't get who we wanted. Let's go get aging superstar. Hey, let's go get Russell Westbrook. Let's go get aging superstar X just to try to put up some numbers and entertain people. He's been pretty good about keeping his powder dry.
How long has he been on the job? It has not been long enough to be giving him this credit. Like, oh, he hasn't made a completely irrational move to just go get some aging star to satisfy New York and James Dolan and all that. Like, Steve Mills came in talking about we're going to patiently rebuild. And then the next thing you know, Tim Hardaway's got a giant contract and they're trading Kristaps Porzingis. Like, I'm not ready to give Rose much credit for not making that move yet. Maybe he won't. Maybe he will go the right direction. But it's too early for me.
With every GM job in the league, there's a certain amount of managing up and managing your owners that is part of it. I got to think that's harder with the Knicks than everywhere. Maybe Sacramento. I'm not sure where else that's going to be a tougher gig.
At least Sacramento. At least Sacramento to a degree, if you're, for example, the previous team, if you're Vlade Divac, you might just be happy to managing any direction coming in unprepared for that job. at least in New York, they tend to pick some people with some experience in basketball operations, whether it's from the agent side or front office.
Front office coach, yeah.
You've probably earned your way there a little more rather than just being a likable player from the organization decades ago. In the tone we're talking about, players who can just mix in because of their salary. I got one guy on my list who has not played a minute this season. Kendrick Nunn.
It was literally the next guy on my list that I was going to bring up. Yeah.
Yep. He's got a $5 million salary. He was the highest paid outside free agent on the Lakers He's the fifth highest paid player on the team after LeBron, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, Talen Horton-Tucker, somebody else. A lot of these trade packages where the Lakers are linked to somebody good who obviously, if they're not on a rookie skill contract, if they're good, they probably got a big salary. A lot of those packages are going to be Kendrick Nunn, Talen Horton-Tucker, and what? And that's just to get to the salary. Is Nunn going to play at all before he gets potentially traded, before he comes up more seriously in trade talks? Maybe he's probably, last I heard, it sounded like he wouldn't be back until January at the earliest, and who knows when in January. I don't think that was clear. A lot of uncertainty when he plays. I'm not sure he's the answer to what ails the Lakers. I don't know about, a guard like him, if that's exactly what they need, although it doesn't hurt to have him. He's a talented player, but that $5 million salary, that opens the door to a lot of different trades.
Exactly. I haven't heard a construction of a Laker trade going after somebody that doesn't it's Horton-Tucker, and like you said, it's Horton-Tucker and Nunn, and then pick your veteran minimum guy. I don't think anybody's clamoring for Dwight Howard, but maybe somebody wants a Wayne Ellington or a Kent Bazemore or somebody.
Or just that salary makes it work. Jeremy Grant has come up as a potential Lakers target, right? So, for example, you could do, just in terms of salary construction, you could do Kendrick Nunn, Talen Horton-Tucker, and one minimum salary player, which seems feasible. The other one that's come up is Ben Simmons, where it would be Talen Horton-Tucker, Jeremy Grant, and eight minimum salary players, which is just impossible.
I honestly believe if Ben Simmons is moved, there's a really good chance that Oklahoma City is ultimately involved in that deal because they've got $34 million in cap space and can help facilitate some bad contracts moving around. It still doesn't work for the Lakers. Unless somebody wants Russell Westbrook, and good luck with that, there's no way for them to move enough salary out to make it work.
The other problem with the Lakers is you got to, at some point, it's not just about the salary, right? That's where we started the conversation. The other thing is you got to make it worthwhile for the other team. And so the Lakers can trade one future first round pick. It's not going to convey till 2026 or 2027. And you can't send more than that. These minimum salary players, I don't think there's a lot of demand for them on the types of teams that would be trading. So maybe Philadelphia likes somebody, right? Maybe they're like, one of these minimum salary players can give us depth and we like them. And that adds just the small amount to value. But the Lakers are not going to be able to get somebody like Ben Simmons for the value of Talen Horton-Tucker, who's a nice young player, and one very distant first round pick.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. I think it's 2017, 2018. They've got to push those picks so far out because of
potential. 26 or 27.
Oh, it is 26 or 27. I've misheard that. But it's just because of all the picks they're sending to, basically everybody to get all these players. I got a feeling. I know the Lakers are going to try really hard to make a deal. I just don't know that they're going to be able to move the needle. They may end up being more of a buyout team than a and hope for something there. I just don't know who they're going to be able to trade for that really changes any dynamic for them.
What one player who almost made my list in just such a boring way was DeAndre Jordan, where if they're going to be that buyout team, right, you want to clear a roster spot. Because of how deep they are into the luxury tax, it's more financially prudent to pay a team to take DeAndre Jordan. And then you get his salary completely off the books rather than if you waive him yourself, and then it's still on your books. And so whoever the minimum salary players who falls out of the rotation very easily could get moved in a deal like that. And they weren't eligible to do that until December 15th. Just collectively something I'm watching with the Lakers. Russell Westbrook, though, as long as we're on the Lakers, do you think that, we're talking about this Talen Horton-Tucker and Kendrick Nunn trade construction to get to a bigger salary. Do you think there's any chance they would just trade Russell Westbrook? And maybe that just means, I'm just talking for salary matching purposes generally, right? I don't think there's a ton of demand for Russell Westbrook, and especially if we're at the point where the Lakers would trade him. I don't think there's a ton of demand, but maybe it's sending him to Oklahoma City, right? With some compensation to the Thunder, but to get to a higher salary, just to rearrange pieces, maybe you get more depth. You get a couple of highly paid players who aren't quite as, I don't know what the right word is anymore, talented. I won't say good. Or maybe you get somebody as good and you send out that first round pick. You send out Talen Horton-Tucker too. But you do something where Westbrook is involved. Do you think they'd be open to that type of shakeup? Or do you just think this big three is what you're going to get for this year?
I think the way that that group, I mean, honestly, when all three of, when you put the big three for the Lakers with Davis and LeBron and Westbrook on the floor and Davis at center, numbers are actually decent, but I think they'd be open to a shakeup. I think that they would be, they realize that they're just not there and that, you know, they've won a few games in a row. They look okay when LeBron decides to put them on their back, but I just think that they would make the, I think they'd make a bold move, but you'd have to get somebody they really want. Like it'd have to be signed. I'm just not, like you said, I'm not sure who that person is. I'm not sure if that person comes available, anybody wants Westbrook, but I think they'd be open to it if the move came.
Yeah. I mean, so that, I mean, that is the reason we both have Kendrick Nunn on our list. Yeah. It's because we don't think there's that Westbrook move, right?
Exactly.
It's going to be something smaller.
And honestly, the guy I almost left off was George Hill for much the same reason. I think the Bucks want to make move, you know, now that, again, I think they want to bring in some help at the five. George Hill's a $4 million movable salary.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's definitely a possibility. Was he on your list?
Or, no, just
you said just missing the cut.
Yeah.
So who else did you have on the list?
Actually, I thought we went through five. Did I?
Are you through all five
yes,
of yours?
I am.
Okay. So I've got one, kind of three left because I cheated. All from the same team. If I pick one, it's Jamichael Green. You can put all three of them together: Jamichael Green, Will Barton, and Jeff Green. I don't know what the Nuggets want to do. You know, they've got these injury issues now. Who knows when Jamal Murray will be back, how he'll look. Presumably the Nuggets have a better idea on those questions. Michael Porter Jr., right, major short-term, long-term health issues. Not sure what that means for them in terms of team building. Like, this was when they were supposed to be good. Last year was when they were supposed to be good, and then Jamal Murray got hurt, right? They got Aaron Gordon. They have all the pieces in place. When everybody's healthy, for brief spurts, like, it's looked really, really good, like championship-level good. And I don't know what they're going to do now. Nikola Jokic is amazing. The team is middling. What do you want to do? Do you want to make the playoffs? Do you care about that? Are you trying to still push in for this year and make the most of a year where Nikola Jokic is awesome? Or are you saying, well, Nikola Jokic is always awesome, we can take a step back? Do you try and trade somebody like Will Barton? This is a fairly young team. I don't know if you can count on anything from Michael Porter Jr. going forward, but I think if you're the Nuggets, you almost have to, because if you don't, well, what are you going to do about it? So you might as well maybe just bake that in. But this core of Jokic and Murray and Porter and Aaron Gordon, it's very young. And so you do have a window there. Will Barton is older. He's into his 30s. Same with Jamichael Green.
Yeah.
Same with Jeff Green. Jeff Green's even older, right? Are these guys you try and move to get more for the long term? Or are they just going to help you win as much as you can this year and making the playoffs again is better than not making the playoffs? I don't know where they stand, and all three of those players are coming out of the trade market now.
Yeah, I think that actually they would be willing to move one of those guys we'll call it a longer term move, somebody more on the Jokic Murray horizon, as opposed to Green and, well, the Greens were kind of both brought in as more win now type moves, right? Like the guys who could absolutely help them win some games and push in right now. And since that, you know, I guess it depends on what you think, but I to me, even if they get, they get Jamal Murray back, I just, without Porter playing there, I'm not sure how dangerous they are in the postseason. They're good, they're better, but I don't know that they're contenders. I thought they needed him, but maybe you can make some, maybe you can move those guys to a place and get some pieces to come back. Because I still think their window is still open for a few years. And you want to be careful thinking there. In fact, they might be the poster child for thinking, hey, we can wait a year. Like you never know what's going to happen. You need to try to take advantage of stuff while you can. But I've got a feeling any win now, push it in move for this season is just, they're not going to be able to push that rock up that hill.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. I don't think they will, but there's a chance.
Yeah.
And part of the complications of trading Will Barton or Jamichael Green in particular, I mean, Jeff Green is new, but these guys seem like they're good for the Nuggets culture and really part of who they want to be. I mean, the Nuggets have a good culture, too. It's not just the talent. It's all come together, or at least all could have come together if everybody were healthy. I mean, Jamichael Green jumped from the Clippers after the Nuggets had that 3-1 comeback against them and really talked up how much he likes how Denver plays and what they represent. Will Barton's been around longer. It just seems to really be part of it. But there's also risk in hanging around and keeping those guys. Jamichael Green has a player option for next year. Will Barton signed for a couple of years. And so there's a risk in keeping them and as they get older and they decline and their value isn't there. And, maybe you miss that right window to move them too.
Yeah, I think that you've got to look for opportunities there. Will Barton is a little more entrenched. I mean, he's been there a long time and had some injury issues and missed some windows, but does seem part of what they want to do and what they want to be and is like to the locker room. We talk about a team that I just feel bad for, just snake bit, because they just, I really thought maybe we didn't have them at the start of the year. We did our predictions, but I think we were both like, if Jamal Murray comes back and they stay healthy, this is in Murray's 90% of himself. Watch out. Like, they were kind of one of those teams, and now it just doesn't feel like this year is going to be that year for them.
One name that has not come up in our discussion much is Ben Simmons, who looms over the whole trade landscape. I looked to see, is there a potential trade where there's somebody who was a free agent who's now going to be available to be traded, where plugging in his salary makes it work? And like, is that something to watch for? I just didn't see anything so obvious. I mean, it could work out in plenty of trade iterations where there is a free agent who fits. But was there anybody you considered putting on in particular because of Ben Simmons? Where
no.
Because of everything going on with Ben Simmons, there's somebody who signed this year who's a free agent where, he's going to be the player to watch.
Yeah, because none of the salaries – the guy. Well, let me rephrase that. The guys making that kind of salary just – I don't know that, nobody's moving. The Heat aren't moving Kyle Lowry.
I wasn't looking for a one-for-one trade. Maybe somebody where a mid-level salary, that's the missing piece.
I wondered if Dallas would have interest. They've kind of swung for the fences before, but I don't think Simmons fits next to Luka. Like, let's take the ball out of Luka's hands. Seems like you need secondary playmaking, but I don't think that that's the fit. That's the guy. So somebody, while Tim Hardaway Jr. is available, I just don't see that as the fit, right? Like, I don't see Ben Simmons fitting there, and I'm not sure who else.
Tim Hardaway Jr. and Reggie Bullock are both eligible to be traded tomorrow, and they're both guys I looked at because, Dallas seems like they are often up to something, or at least should be up to something now, and I don't know what that is. I mean, they didn't crack my list, but it's interesting that those guys are now available and they don't seem they seem potentially movable in the right deal. But I do know Dallas likes Hardaway. Bullock hasn't really played as well there.
No. And there's some other interesting, like before the season, I would have put Lauri Markkanen on this list. Like, they're going to move him in, and he's got that 15.6 that can bring you back somebody. I don't think I don't think I'm touching anything.
Nope.
That team. Nope. That team is winning right now and playing well, and I'm going to ride this thing out and see where it goes this year. The one guy I'd move on there, honestly, if everybody's going to move from Cleveland, it's Sexton, right? Like, I think they move Sexton. They'll listen, and they might even try to move Sexton just because they don't want to pay him going forward. Like, Garland is the guy, right? So if this is going to be the Garland backcourt, I just don't think Sexton. I don't think they want to pay what Sexton's going to get on the market.
Right. I agree. But they've always valued Sexton more than every other team has. They're like, we're ready to trade Sexton. Give us your great offers. You guys all think he's great as us, right? And it just doesn't work that way. So we'll see. Now that he's injured, maybe that swings it. It's not going to disrupt their chemistry to move him. But that gets to the point of most of the players we're going to be talking about and watching as the trade deadline approaches were players who are already eligible to be traded. You could trade them today. You don't have to wait for tomorrow in most cases.
Right.
December 15th, not quite as big a deal, but does open up the trade market, does change things.
Yeah,
I did want to talk about those players.
Yeah, because I thought about trying to fit the Kings in there, but that was more about talking about Harrison Barnes and guys who are already available than that or My sneaky guy is, I still think the Pelicans will move Jonas Valanciunas somewhere. He might be a guy. They're not going anywhere, and he's knocking it down this year. I think he's a big who could help some teams. So.
Yes. I wonder if they'll go the other direction. I wouldn't recommend it, but, you know, is David Griffin, is he going to try and go the way toward a deeper rebuild and trading somebody who's playing well for them? Or is he going to make a last grasp at trying to win?
Are you suggesting that he may want to do things that helps him save his job?
I mean, I wouldn't accuse him of that. And look, to be clear, if a GM is ever doing those things, it's the owner's fault. If you put an owner or if you put a GM in position to do that, it's your fault. You reap what you sow. The owner should be looking out for the long term. And if you don't have a GM you trust to handle the long term, you need to move on.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not sure that's the strongest ownership group in the league right now. So.
All right. Well, you got Pelicans fans real mad at you. I'll end it there. Kurt, thanks for coming.
I think we could say things that would make Pelicans fans madder, but we'll leave those alone.
Well, they are particularly defensive of ownership because that's when you get into discussion of moving the team. Oh, no. Did I go that far?
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.